अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य सुर ठाकुर हरिदास की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गराधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंज गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा देवी की जय। युवनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी रानी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। इस्कॉन टीवी थी फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग जय श्री प्रभुपाद ओम विष्णु कृष्ण श्री ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमतीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। This is the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 1, and today, the 11th of November, we are in Nudvarka, reading text number 40. This is the continuation of the history of the life of Ajamil, and we have now the Yamadutas answering the queries of the Vishnudutas. Yesterday they asked, what is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities punishable, or only some of them? And today we're going to hear the answer. So we're very fortunate because, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have been given the association of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, in the form of His Bhaktivedanta purports. So we'll try to say something after reading those. For now, please repeat. Yamaduta uchuhu veda pranihito dhanamo hi adhanamas tad viparyayaha vedo narayanah sakshat svayam bhuriti shushruma वेद प्रणहितो धनमो यधनमस्तद्विपर्ययः वेदो नारायण साक्षात् स्वयं भूरिति शुश्रुम वेद प्रणहितो धनमो यधनमस्तद्विपर्ययः वेदो नारायणः साक्षात् स्वयं भूरिति शुश्रुम यमदूता ऊचुः वेद प्रणहितो धनमो यधनमस्तद्विपर्ययः वेदो नारायणः साक्षात् Svayambhurati Shushvama Yamaduta Uchuho Veda Pranahito Dhanamo Hyadhanamastad Viparyayaham Vedo Narayana Sakshat Svayambhurati Shushvama Yamaduta Uchu Veda Pranahito Dhanamo Hyadhanamastad Viparyayaham Vedo Narayana Sakshat Svayambhurati Shushrama. Ladies. Yamuduta Uchuhum Veda Pranahito Dhanamo Hyadhanamastad Viparyayaham Vedo Narayana Sakshat Svayambhurati Shushrama Yamaduta Uchuham Veda Pranahito Dharamo Hyadhanamastad Viparyayaham Vedo Narayana Sakshat Svayambhurati Shushrama Yamudutaha Uchuho. The order carriers of Yamaraj said, Veda, by the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, Pranihitaha, prescribed, Dharamaha, religious principles, he, indeed, Adharmaha, irreligious principles. Tat viparyayaha, the opposite of that. That which is not supported by Vedic injunctions. Vedaha, the Vedas, books of knowledge. Narayanaha sakshat, directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being the words of Narayana. Svayambhuhu, self-born, self-effulgent, appearing only from the breath of Narayana, and not being learned from anyone else. Iti, thus, Shushruma, we have heard. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The Yamadutas replied, I'll just repeat first. The Yamadutas replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. Kindly repeat. The Yamadutas replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. Purport. The servants of Yamaraj replied quite properly. They did not manufacture principles of religion or irreligion. Instead, they explained what they had heard from the authority, Yamaraj. Mahajano yena gata sapantha. One should follow the Mahajana, the authorized person. Yamaraj is one of 12 authorities. Therefore, the servants of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, replied with perfect clarity when they said, Shushruma, we have heard. The members of modern civilization manufactured defective religious principles through speculative concoction. This is not dharma. They do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. Therefore, as stated in the Srimad, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma prajita karita votra, dharma not supported by the Vedas is rejected from Srimad Bhagavata dharma. Bhagavata dharma comprises only that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavata dharma is sarvadharman parityajyamam ekam sharanam vraja. One must accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to Him and whatever He says. That is dharma. Arjuna, for example, thinking that violence was adharma, was declining to fight, but Krishna urged him to fight. Arjuna abided by the orders of Krishna, and therefore he is actually a dharmi, because the order of Krishna is dharma. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaisha sarvair ahameva vedyaha. The real purpose of Veda, knowledge, is to know me. One who knows Krishna perfectly is liberated, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. One who understands Krishna and abides by his order is a candidate for returning home, back to Godhead. It may be concluded that dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas, and adharma, irreligion, refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. Dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayana. As stated in the Vedas, Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etad yad rigvedaha iti. The injunctions of dharma emanate from the breathing of Narayana, the supreme living entity. Narayana exists eternally and breathes eternally, and therefore dharma, the injunctions of Narayana, also exist eternally. Srila Madhvacharya, the original Acharya for those who belong to the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, says, Vedanam prathamo vakta harireva yato vibhuhu ato vishnuatmaka veda iti ahur vedavadinaha. The transcendental words of the Vedas emanated from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. The Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu, and one who follows the Vedic principles is a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of this material world. A Vaishnava is a real knower of the Vedas, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishta sarvair aham eva vedyaha. Om jnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे यमदूता ऊचुः वेद प्रणहितो धर्मो हि अधर्मस्तद्विपर्ययः वेदो नारायण साक्षात् स्वयंभूर इति शुश्रुम. Yamadutas replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. So what do we do about this? How do we know what to do now? Are the Vedas telling us that we can't do anything that's not explicitly enjoined in the Veda? Some people believe that. Or are the Vedas telling us that you can do pretty much anything as long as it's not prohibited in the Vedas? There are two kinds of concordance, positive and negative. That's why we find, generally, throughout Vedic literature, Vedic tradition in general, practically speaking, any school, we have two kinds of pervasion. In logic, they call this vyapti, covering your bases, positive and negative. So, for example, smartavyam satatam vishnur, vismartavyam najatuchit. Not only should you always remember Vishnu, because it's possible to remember Vishnu while you're drinking liquor. It's possible. But vismartavyam najatuchit, you should not forget Vishnu, because drinking liquor at the same time of thinking of Vishnu is not actually thinking of Vishnu. You see, so we have positive and negative pervasion. So this is a question that all of us are answering, and most of us are not conscious of how we're answering it, but all of us are answering this question. Do we do something, is it okay to do something as long as it's not prohibited, or is it, strictly speaking, we can only do something which is expressly instructed to us, something which is expressly enjoined? Even if you read this purport, you cannot understand the answer to this question, I think. Or anybody, if you beg to differ, anybody think that, anybody have another idea, just raise your hand. Because I see at least two instructions are given here. In the verse itself, it says, adharmas tad viparyaya, whatever opposes the Vedic injunction, that is adharma. Okay. Now in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also says, it may be concluded that dharma religion refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas, and adharma irreligion refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. You see the subtle distinction here? That it's not directly supported in the Vedas doesn't necessarily mean that it's not enjoined in the Vedas. It's not clear. At least to me it's not clear. Maybe to someone else it's clear. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada begins his purport right to the point, right to the essence, as he always does, and unmistakably so, as he always does. He says that the servants of Yamaraj, they did not manufacture the principles of irreligion or irreligion. Religion or irreligion. So they, both bases again are covered here. Instead, they explain what they had heard. And then Prabhupada gives the real essence here. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. Very, very, very important verse that everybody should have kantastha, as they say in Sanskrit, on the tip of your tongue, or in your throat, rather, kantastha. That is to say, memorized. Have it ready at hand when you need it. because this gyan will save you. We're not interested in karma or gyan in devotional service, but we are interested in divya karma and divya gyan. Prabhupada has mentioned in his purport here. Krishna's divya karma will liberate you if you understand it very truly. Therefore, divya gyan srite prakashita. We pray to the spiritual master to allow this kind of gyan to awaken within our hearts. So we should have this verse memorized. Tarako apratishta shruta yovibhinna. Even the shruti mantras, what to speak of the smriti. Even the shruti themselves, they say so many things that are confusing. And we can't understand what the real proper conclusion is. Therefore, arguing about that, even on the basis of the shastra, is not conclusive. It's useless. It has no basis. Apratishta means there's no foundation. There's no basis for it. People, on the basis of their incomplete realizations, they like to argue and very vociferously and they remain attached to their intractable positions. But the real position is to humbly surrender to the Vaishnava, to the Mahajana, and hear from him. I'd like to say that Srila Prabhupada gave many, many classes on many, many verses, but for those who are statisticians, statistically the most common verse that Prabhupada would speak on was in the beginning of the seventh chapter. Tat Srino, just hear. Mm-hmm. Anybody know the whole verse? Tat Srino? Gyanam Teham Savigyanam. Yeah, that's not what I was thinking of. But if you want to understand this, Arjuna, he says, then just listen. So in the beginning, we just hear. And this is something which is urged by Kapila Dev as well in the third canto. The process of hearing. Sometimes throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, he, of course, because it's the Yuga Dharma, we emphasize chanting. But really, hearing is actually the beginning. Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvang monopi. With your mind and with your ear, just stay wherever you are, but listen carefully. And, of course, Prabhupada said, listening means acting. It's not enough to, if I say, please bring me a glass of water, and you're listening very attentively and even taking notes on it, but you don't get up and do it. That's not hearing, is it? You see? So, therefore, Sridhar Swami, commenting on this verse, he says, Vedena pranihito dharma. What is enjoined in the Vedas is dharma. Veda pramanaka iti artha. That is to say, the Vedas are the authority. Anena yo veda pramanaka sadharmo yo adharma sa veda pramanakam choktam. And whatever is not, these are all the things that Prabhupada is making. The same points that Prabhupada is making, he's getting them from Sridhar Swami, from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and as we'll see, a few others as well who have commented here. So the point that I'm making is that Sridhar Swami sees it fit to quote from the Jaimini Dharma Sutras. He says, Chodana lakshano iti dharma. Chodana lakshano artho dharmaha iti. He defines dharma for that school. That's the Karma Mimamsa school or the Purva Mimamsa school. They believe that dharma is everything, but they also believe that dharma means artha. So they're not so godly school. Although it's not explicit in the sutras of Jaimini that there is no God, but he's kind of double-clicked and minimized. He's still running, but you were not paying attention. He's not so relevant. He says that dharma means your purpose of sense gratification. So this is not really easily imaginable to the modern mindset. How a person could be virtuous and totally devoted to dharma, but at the same time, be completely focused on one's the aim being happiness or artha, facility, better conditions, you might say. But this is what he says. But that's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making here in mentioning this is that chodana lakshano dharma. All the Purva Mimamsakas, they believe that every single word in the Vedas is actually an injunction. You don't have to understand it, even. You just have to understand what you're supposed to do. This gave birth to a whole plethora of various grammatical schools who studied language very carefully millennia before Sir William Jones was even born. Sir William Jones of the Royal Asiatic Society, Englishman, he's considered to be the father of modern linguistics, and we think that he discovered the Sanskrit language in the 18th century. No, these Vyakaranas and other linguists of the Sanskrit era, they were grappling with issues of meaning and language and discourse that would confound even the most astute postmodernist of the modern era. Because nowadays, most philosophy has turned its attention to language and meaning. And they argue about what is meaning and how we can gain meaning and all these sorts of things. They're also demoniac. But according to the Mimamsa school, all the words of the Vedas are an injunction. You're supposed to just do something. Shut up and work. This is the idea in a nutshell. So that's actually true, and therefore Sridhar Swami sees fit to quote him here. And Vyakyam cha Bhaktai, the followers of Kumarila Bhakta, the chief of these Mimamsika philosophers, they say, they comment that Dharma also means the system by which you can understand the an ambiguous passage. So the Mimamsakas developed a whole school of Vedic interpretation by which something that's not clear, there are certain rules. Just like in higher math, well, algebra, if you consider that higher math, there is an order of operations. You cannot figure out what f of x is until you understand what x is. Right? What is a function of x is meaningless until you know what x is. This is algebra. So, this is the idea. And Srila Prabhupada is quoting Sridhar Swami here, at least with regards to this point. And he concludes very nicely in the end of his first paragraph of the purport. Dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas. Adharma, religion, refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. Now, we cannot even really understand the Vedas. As I said, that the argument alone is inconclusive because it seems to us as if the Vedas are saying contradictory things, or at least different things. And therefore we have at least six different ways of understanding the Vedas. They're radically different. They're irreconcilably different, right? So this is a problem. Therefore, dharmasya tattvasya, the Mahabharata tells us, the real truth of religious principles, where are we going to find that? Who knows? Nihitam guhayam, within the cave. What does the cave also mean? Within the heart. Whose heart? Mahajana's heart. Now, we come to the real point. There are 12 Mahajanas as far as Bhakti Yoga is concerned. And Yamaraj is one of those authorities. Now, Srila Prabhupada gave two or three classes at least on this verse. A couple of classes were in Surat in 1970, and then in San Francisco in 1975, and here, right here in Los Angeles in 76. I was here when Srila Prabhupada was speaking on this section of the Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada has explained at least once that although these Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, they're not particularly educated fellows, they're not particularly sophisticated, they're not really very pretty to look at. Pretty frightful characters, actually. Bad company, we might say. But because they heard from their authority, because they heard from a bona fide authority, therefore what they were speaking was quite proper. This is the first thing Prabhupada notes. And it was proper because they heard. They were not concocting, as people are so wont to do in the modern day and age. Everybody is hearing this morning. Everybody has his own opinion. Well, I think it's this way. I think it's that way. Well, you believe like that, but I don't think so. I think this is all useless. Look in the mirror, folks, and see what the result of your thinking is. We get these ugly, rotting bodies while we're still in them. They're dying. And then trying to eke out so much pleasure from this hopeless situation, and all we're doing is running up a huge karmic debit for which we're accountable in the next life. Yamaraj taps us on the shoulder at the time of death, or these characters come and tap us on the shoulder at the time of death and say, excuse me, you need to balance your account with Yamaraj. Look at the mess we've got ourselves into. Therefore, Brihadaranyaka, maybe it's the Chandogya, I don't remember, this expression is there. Vamadeva, this rishi, famous muni, Vamadeva his name was, he had this realization, oh my God, once I was actually the sun. Now look at, where am I now? Once I was Indra, once I was Brahma. Every one of us has, practically speaking, at least we've been Brahma before. And look at us now. Sometimes I wonder if I even have one head, what to speak of four. And four heads is the smallest Brahma. So, they heard. This is Prabhupada's point. They heard. Iti shushruma. This is, Arjuna also had this approach. What does he say? In the chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita, anybody remember? I've heard that those who destroy family tradition dwell always in hell. Arjuna is also referring to this. Even the Upanishad, even the Shruti mantras themselves say this. Iti shushruma dhiranam yenas tad vichachakshire. Same idea. So this is perfect knowledge. We hear. This is called shabda praman. Shabda praman, descending knowledge. Although we have our sensory perception, we also have our power of extrapolation or speculation, these things are very much subject to the four defects that flaw and mar each and every one of us. These things mar our psychology, what to speak of our power to reason. Even our very mindset, our basic, how should we say, as they say in German, Weltanschauung, our worldview, the way we process our experiences of life. The whole approach that we have to life, our attitude, is completely marred because we cheat. And because we make mistakes, because we don't have proper senses to deal with the world. We don't even know if we're seeing all the colors that are there, hearing every tone that is there. We know we don't. So, what's the other one? Improper senses. Yeah, we become illusion, therefore. Either self-delusion or illusion through bad association or somehow or other by the influence of maya, we become covered over. So we have to hear. And Srila Prabhupada then says, real dharma means that which is supported in the Vedas and especially Bhagavata dharma, what is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, he moves on to a much higher level because ordinary dharma, at least the concerns of Kumarila Bhakta and Jaimini Rishi and others of the Mimamsa school, they're concerned with Trayi Dharma, dharma within the three modes of material nature, which has as its best result a Class A prison cell. I was hearing this morning, Prabhupada said, this is the Brahminical life. The highest person in the material world is somebody who's completely in Sattva Guna. But those who are really the most in Sattva Guna, they take birth as demigods, and they have, at best, a Class A prison cell. They still make mistakes. They still cheat. They are still illusioned. They still fall down again at the end. So the Mimamsa school really can't give us eternal liberation, and they imply, at least, that there is no eternal liberation. The best thing you can hope for is to get a good seat in this theater of operation here in this material world. No, this is not, therefore, Uttara Mimamsa, better, later Mimamsa, deals with the Upanishads. Purva Mimamsa deals with the Veda Samhitas and the rituals attached to those. Uttara Mimamsa, or Vedanta school of Vyasdev, Badrayani, this school is postulating another thesis. That is to say, there is an absolute truth beyond this ritual action and reaction. What to speak of sinful action that now dominates this terrible world in Kali Yuga. There is something higher than this. Parastasmat tu bhavo nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Krishna himself several times throughout Bhagavad Gita also knocks the Mimamsa school. Imagine, the school that he himself founded. He's knocking it. This is the irony. So Arjuna, he came to this higher level of dharma, which we call Parodharma. Everybody has a dharma, without we know, jati dharma, there's kula dharma, there's swadharma, there's sadharana dharma, apadharma, so many different kinds of dharmas, and none of them we have in common with all living entities. The only one thing we have in common with all living entities, that is our essential dharma, our jiva dharma, our sanatan dharma, our eternal function, Prabhupada says. He translates this word dharma not as Jaimini did, as chodana or an injunction, but rather as your characteristic, your lakshana, your sorup. Jiver sorup hoi krishner nityadas. Our actual function is to serve Krishna. Therefore, failing to do that, we have to serve someone else. And that comes back and bites us. This is the problem. What one poet, he said very eloquently, sick with desire, chained to a dying animal, he knows not what he is. This is our human condition. Mm-hmm. So as long as we're in this sick condition, then we cannot even get the happiness that Jaimini Rishi and others are postulating as the supreme attainment or the artha of life, dharma. We have to come to this level of, at least in Kali Yuga, because practically speaking, nobody is fit. Everyone is totally unfit, even for performing Karma Mimamsa. So that's why the school has died out, virtually. So, therefore, there's only Vaishnava. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says there's only Vaishnavas and Vaishnava Dharma in this day and age of Kali Yuga. So Arjuna is the real Dharmi, Prabhupada says here, because he understood the next point that's made in the verse here, a little bit, that dharma means Veda Pranihita, what is enjoined in the Vedas, and adharma means tadviparyaya, whatever is Vedo Narayana Sakshat. The Vedas are directly Narayana. You might think, well, what's the big deal about following Vedic injunction to decide what Narayana is? Because the Vedas only have their significance in that Krishna has ordered these things. What Krishna wants, that is the essence of the Vedas. What Krishna asks. And for the devotee, at least, really for anybody who's following the Vedas, what Krishna wants, at least for the devotees, what Krishna wants, that we know from what the spiritual master wants, what the spiritual master orders. So the order of the spiritual master is the active ingredient in spiritual life. So Prabhupada says, therefore, dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayana either. Many quotes, it would seem he's quoting Vijayadvaj Tirtha and also, well, actually all the acharyas. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, they also quote the Shruti Mantra, Asya Mahato Bhutasya Nishvasitameta Yagrigvedaha. The Rigveda is emanating from the breathing of Narayana. It is the breath of Narayana. He didn't author it. We say Apaurusheya. What does Apaurusheya mean? It's not coming from any Purush. I think it was either Viragavacharya or maybe Vijayadvaj Tirtha commenting on this. Vedo Narayana Sakshat idea. He says it's not just any Tom, Dick, or Harry can write a book and it becomes authoritative like the Vedas. And we say Tom, Dick, or Harry in English, or sometimes we say John Doe. In Sanskrit, what do you call him? You call him Devadatta. So he said it's not like any Devadatta can come and say, this is my book and it's just as good as the Vedas. No. This is coming from Narayana. And it's from this we've heard. He says, this, the knowers of the Veda, they say like this. So this is an off-quoted verse from Madhvacharya. I think he wrote it. He says that every single word in the Veda actually represents Krishna. You see? Now we've come a little further along. Jaimini Rishi said every word in the Vedas is representing what? Anybody remember? Some order, some injunction. Chodana, the word is used. You have to do this. That's true, but it's indirect. More directly is to understand this is the Supreme Person. He wants this and he does not want that. You do what he wants. This is the idea. And that's love. Because to live in a legalistic framework of law is not a very satisfying personal existence. But to live within a paradigm in which love dominates, and Krishna asks you to do something out of love, and you do that thing out of love, and you reciprocate eternally in love, that is very sweet existence. Yesterday, my godbrother, what's his name, the photographer? Yeah? Parva, yeah. He was mentioning that one devotee said about Shunyavad, Buddhism, Nirvishesha Shunyavad, after I said that, he said that one devotee was expressing his appreciation. We do not want to become like dead stone. That's Shunyavad existence. And to live in a legalistic world where you just have to do what the authority says, that's also not fully satisfying. But to live in a world where there's full play of human emotions, human desires, human activities and feelings, love, that is very satisfying. So this is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Madhvacharya brings the point home. Not just it's a Chodana only, but everything is ultimately representing Vishnu, Hari. He is in every single word. And we know the Vedas themselves are summarized in Vedanta Sutra by Vyasa himself, by the author. And so is the Srimad Bhagavatam, the commentary on those Vedas, and there is absolutely no question, I think, in anyone's mind, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing to this same principle as the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajyamam ekam sharanam raja, Krishna says, especially in Govardhan Lila. That's a very strong point there. Krishna is really directly knocking the Mimamsa school there. And this idea that if you just do your duty, then everything is okay, and we could explain a lot more about that, but there's no need. Therefore, Prabhupada concludes, the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. It's coming from him. It's coming from his breath. The Vedas contain nothing but the instructions of Vishnu. That's consistent with Jaimini, with Madhvacharya, etc. And one who follows Vedic principles is a Vaishnava. That is to say, when the speaker says, bring me a glass of water, you get up and do it. You don't smile and listen very attentively. So, the Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of this mature world. This is the perennial tendency of the Mimamsa school. They want to bring everything down to this Trigunya level. And so Vaishnavas, they also become orthodoxified, I might say, and they become caste Goswamis and this and that, and basically they remain in Sattvaguna and have no desire to go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, although he said that the remaining 50% of his mission was to establish Varnashram Dharma. He did not want to establish this Gunatmaka Varnashram Dharma, this Varnashram that is infected with these three modes of material nature, not even Sattvaguna. He wanted Daivi Varnashram Dharma, in which Krishna is absolutely front and center. This is the real point. Because as soon as Krishna is not in the front and center of Varnashram Dharma, then immediately the other modes take over and exploitation results and the whole system falls apart because of hypocrisy. So the only thing, the only dharma, as Krishna Das Kaviraj said, I mentioned, is to take shelter of Krishna. And Vaishnavas and Vaishnava principles, chiefly through Harinam and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of Rasikas, pure devotees, those who know. Prabhupada concludes, a Vaishnava is a real knower of the Vedas, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Vedaishta saravaralahameva vedya ityadi. Anybody have any questions or comments? Archita Prabhu.
Just limit it to the last line. When you were reading the synonyms, I think you kind of misquoted. It was swayambhu, and you said self-effulgent, but it's actually self-sufficient or self-born.
Yeah, this is a very good point.
But my question on that was, it's referring to Yamaraj in this verse, swayambhu. But Yamaraj is the son of Brahma. He's not self-born, as far as I know. He's not self-manifest. He's born from Brahma. So how does, why is he referred to as Swayambhu?
No, I don't think it's referring to you, Maharaj. At least not according to the commentators. And grammatically it also, that the word is in the same case as Veda, Narayana. So, and Dharma. I mean, it's an attribute of the Vedas, I would say. That is what they usually say in philosophical language is swata pramanya, you know, self-authoritative, but, and of course we know they're eternal, nitya. Swayambhu, it means in that sense. Coming from Vishnu, if anything, but really eternal. Is that okay?
Yeah, so that was the confusion, because Swayambhu iti shushuma, so they're not saying...
Yeah, we didn't hear from Swayambhu.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, no, Swayambhu, let's see what Prabhupada says in the synonyms here. He says, self-born, self-effulgent, apparently, or appearing only from the breath of Narayana and not being learned from anyone else. So it's obvious that it's referring to the Veda. Shashitanai, Prabhu? Or Amalabhakta, sorry.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask one question. Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. The question is that the Yamadutas, they came and they have been explaining what their spiritual master has told them, and what they're saying is perfect religion, because as you mentioned, Yamaraj is one of the Mahajanas, and therefore he speaks perfect Vedic knowledge. The question is this, is that why didn't Yamaraj tell his servants exactly what he tells them later, or what the servants of Vishnu tell the Yamadutas, namely that you cannot take this man away to Yamaraj because he is completely pure soul now. His sins are completely have been eradicated. So why did Yamaraj omit to tell his servants that, especially in light of the fact that Yamaraj already knew this since he's a Mahajana?
So this is a very
interesting question. Something that somebody knows but doesn't tell his servants, which results in this particular predicament that they find themselves in.
Yeah, this is a very good question. Why were the Yamadutas not informed of the real Saddharma, I should say, or the Parodharma by Yamaraj himself? Well, I don't think we have any explicit information here that they were not given proper instructions. It seems as if they didn't get it. And this confirms the point that, you know, we have these four defects. We just, you know. Now, in our process of Krishna consciousness and in the commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, we find exhaustive commentaries, particularly on the beginning chapters of Bhagavad Gita, where all the acharyas emphasize most emphatically the absolute necessity for practicing this very dharma that we're now criticizing. Because until the heart becomes purified by performance of your niyatam karma, your prescribed duty, as the Vedas enjoin, we cannot really even process what we hear from a pure devotee or from a mahajan appropriately. We will misunderstand it. We will twist and entwangle it. On one of the classes he gave on this verse, Prabhupada also mentioned that you cannot interpret things, that ruins everything. So this is what we do. Unfortunately, because we have our conditional natures, we are inclined to not get it at best. And sometimes we even twist and twangle it around according to our own nefarious designs and desires. That is all the result of some impurity. And all conditioned souls have some impurity to one degree or another. As Prabhupada says many times, there are accidents even on royal roads. So I don't know that whether the Yamadutas are walking a royal road or not, but it seems they make mistakes. That's how I understand it. Anybody else have any insights about this? Is that okay? You don't look satisfied. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, I was just going to add one point to your point there, if I may. Sometimes an omission is made deliberately just so that such a predicament can arise, and it gives Vishnu, in the form of his servants, the Vishnu Dutas the opportunity to expound on this particular aspect of the philosophy, which then gives it further authority because it is actually coming from Vishnu, not himself, but through his servants.
Yeah, we just like we can't take shelter unless we're under attack from the elements. So in the same way, you know, Krishna hardly has a reason to speak Bhagavad Gita unless he instigates this whole family quarrel to begin with. And yeah, this can be seen as a similar circumstance, that, you know, Krishna himself may have directly covered the intelligence or the memory of these Yamadutas just to create this situation and to instruct all of us sitting here today. A very good point. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.